Wax held very still in the darkness. He flared his steel, seeking guidance from that comfortable fire inside of him. The blue lines pointed exclusively behind him. Those pointed toward the hidden doorway and the nails in the wall. There was nothing else. Except, could he just barely make something out? Two faint lines, tiny as the threads of a spiderweb. He flared his metal, straining, pushing. The lines quivered in the darkness, then they were gone. Wax whipped out his Sterion and pointed it down the corridor away from the lines. The flash of gunpowder lit the room like lightning as he leveled his other gun toward the blue lines and the source of the sound. In those flashes, he made out something in the darkness crouching nearby. It was inhuman, with bestial eyes and stark white teeth. Rust and ruin. Fingers sweaty on his gun, Wax backed away from the thing, ready to fire. He didn't pull the trigger. You didn't shoot something for talking to you.
You're certainly a jumpy one.
Who are you?
Light your lantern, human, and lock that door. Let's be away from here before someone comes to investigate the gunfire.
Wax paused to steady his nerves, but eventually slipped his guns back into their holsters. Whatever it was, it could have attacked him instead of speaking to him. It didn't want him dead. He lit the small lantern, but when he raised it, the creature had retreated into the corridor until it was just a shadow. Still unnerved, Wax flipped the latches he found on the wall, locking the hidden doorway closed from the inside.
Come.
You're one of them.
Wax lifted the lantern and followed the shadowy figure, which walked on all fours.
You're a Chondra.
Yes.
Wax jogged to catch up, his lantern light finally giving him a good look at his companion. A wolfhound, easily the largest he had ever seen, of a mottled gray coloring. The pelt reminded him of the mists.
I've read about you.
Thrilling. I'm so happy Sazed included me in his little book, so that drunk people can curse by my name.
They do that?
Yes. There are stuffed toys, too.
Oh, yeah. Sunni cubs. I've seen those around.
Wax's nervousness returned. Best not to taunt the immortal hound. He didn't know how many of the legends of this creature were true, but if even a percentage were based on fact...
So, Guardian, you were waiting for me?
It was decided that allowing a human to wander these caverns alone was unwise. I came myself. The others are busy.
Hunting Bleeder?
Counteracting her.
The Chondra led him to an intersection, then took the right fork.
Do you mind explaining what you mean by that?
I don't talk much these days. I've fallen out of practice, it seems. Pa'alm is trying to spark a revolution, using skills she learned from the Lord Ruler himself. But she is only one Chondra. She has disdain for the rest of us, and therefore underestimates us in equal measure. We can do what she does, imitating people, appearing on the streets. For every priest she has commit an atrocity, we will have dozens out tonight, preaching temperance and peace, pleading with the people not to listen to rumors.
Wise.
Wax hadn't considered what the other Chondra might be doing, other than vaguely assuming they were tracking Bleeder. This made good sense. Could he use it somehow in his investigation? As they moved deeper into the caverns, Wax noted a crusty white substance growing on the rocks, the source of the powdery residue he'd found on Bleeder's clothing. Presumably, if he extinguished his lantern, he'd be able to see the glow. He might not even need the lantern, but thinking of all this stone surrounding him, separating him from the mists above, he felt no urge to extinguish it. The network of tunnels was far more extensive than he'd expected. He'd thought of this place only as that one cavern underneath the tomb, but that wasn't it at all. Harmony had assembled many different refuges of people as he remade the world, placing them all in the same area that was now Elendel. How much of the city did these tunnels stretch beneath? He passed a number of them that had flooded. What was the difference between those and the ones that remained dry? As they wound through the tunnels, they passed an opening into a different large cavern. He raised his lantern to give it a glance, then froze in place. Instead of more rough natural rock, his light illuminated dusty tiles and pillars with parts of the floor torn up. Past them, there was what appeared to be a small hut of all things. The Chondra continued forward.
Tinsoon?
Come along, human.
Is that?
Yes. Many people hid in the basements of Credit Shaw, the Lord Ruler's palace. Sazed moved that here, as he did with all other caverns of refuge.
Wax couldn't pull himself away, gaping at history, no, mythology, come alive. The Lord Ruler's Palace. Places where the survivor and his followers had walked. Rusts. The Well of Ascension itself would be in there.
Human, there is something I wish for you to see. Come.
Wax turned from the entrance to Lost Credic Shaw and followed Tensoon.
Melan said that the Chandra don't come down here often. Why not? Isn't this your home?
It is a sacred place. Yes, it is home, but also a prison. And so much more. Under the Lord Ruler, we needed this place for freedom, to be ourselves. Outside, we were controlled, enslaved by men.
Bitter.
Even after hundreds of years, this creature was pained by the life it had led. Did he blame humankind? Did Bleeder?
We come here when the mood strikes us. Usually we come alone, and infrequently. There are clubs up above where we can socialize now, being ourselves. Homes, lives. The younger generations almost never visit this place. They prefer their lives as they are now, and don't wish to remember the past. I suppose I'm the same, though for different reasons.
Wax nodded, walking alongside the Chandra as they penetrated ever deeper into the twisting tunnels of the homeland. They passed many empty chambers, but some that held oddities, like two with old baskets and some discarded bones on the floor. Wax had been in his fair share of tunnels out in the roughs, but most of those had been some kind of man-made mine. These caverns were different. Those had smelled of dust and dirt, while this place somehow felt alive, of water and fungus, of patience. The tunnels were knobby, yet smooth, like wax pooled beneath a long-burning candle. Holy ground. Everything else in the world, so far as he knew, had been completely remade during the Katasandra. But these caverns stretched back to eternity, as old as human memory. Older. Eventually, they reached a small chamber that didn't seem quite as organic as the others. Had it been shaped somehow by Chandra hands? Tensoon settled down on his haunches in the entrance to the room. Wax's light glittered off the smooth, bulbous rock of the floor, which fell away into a series of pits. Perhaps 3 feet across, they looked like holes dug by prospectors foolishly hunting metals out in the roughs. Wax glanced at Tensoon.
I passed by here on my way to meet with you. I smelled something wrong.
Smelled something? Wax couldn't catch any odd scents. But this whole place smelled strange to him. He stepped into the room, then noted something. One of the small pits was full. Were those sheets of paper? Yes, they were. As Wax knelt at the rim of the pit, he was surprised to find hundreds of sheets of paper inside, jagged on one edge, as if they'd been ripped from a book. They contained cramped writing with numbered verses. The words of founding. Besides the normal writing, someone had scrawled all over these in brownish red ink.
Blood. It's blood.
He set down his lantern, then reached down and picked up a page. Book 80, verses 27 through 50. Verses about Harmony's quest for truth. Someone, likely Bleeder, had written all over them the words, lies, lies, lies. Wax dug up other sheets. Most had something written on them, a word or phrase, though many were just smeared with blood. Something bothered Wax about it all, something that made his eye twitch. He couldn't say what it was. I was there, one sheet read. Nobody, said another. It was, said another. He started laying them out. Wax glanced back to Tensoon.
Did you see these?
Yes.
What do you make of them?
I did not stay long.
The Chandra looked to the side.
I do not spend time in this room, human. I am not fond of it.
This room, Wax felt cold. Was this the prison that Tensoon had been trapped in, locked away without bones, awaiting execution? Rusts. He was kneeling in a place that had decided the fate of the world. Wax stretched down, grabbing more of the sheets. It seemed like Bleeder had ripped apart an entire set of the Words of Founding, the unabridged version. Old edition, too, judging by the fact that it had been handwritten instead of printed.
You really knew her, didn't you? The Ascendant Warrior.
I knew her. Near the end, I spent over an hour without my spikes, and so my memories degraded. However, most of what I lost was from the time right before my fall. Most of my memories of her are crisp.
What was she like? As a person, I mean.
She was strong and vulnerable all at once. She was my last master and my greatest. She had a way of pouring everything of herself into what she did. When she fought, she was the blade. When she loved, she was the kiss. In that regard, she was far more human than any I have known.
Wax found himself nodding as he settled the pages about him, in stacks based on whether they had words or not. The ones with fingerprints he set in their own stack. Perhaps they would be useful. Perhaps not. Bleeder was a shapeshifter after all. Tensoon eventually padded up to him.
They look like they might say something if you string them together.
Yeah.
What is wrong?
It's too much. Too convoluted. Too sensational. Why would she write on a bunch of pages, then rip them out and leave them here?
Because she's mad.
No, she's not that kind of mad. The way she's been working is too deliberate, too focused. Her motives might be insane, but her methods have been careful.
How could he explain it? This case had his instincts fighting with one another.
When someone leaves something like this behind, it means one of two things. They're sloppy, or they're trying too hard. She's not sloppy, but I don't think she's trying to be cute either, dangling clues and playing games. When I talked to her...
You spoke with Palm? When?
Earlier tonight. There was something regretful about her. She claimed to not be playing games, but this seems like a game. 1,000 discarded pages left to be put back together and form a clue? I don't buy it. Madness or not, she had to know that other Chandra would eventually find this.
Very well. But she spoke to you as herself, not an imitation.
Yes. Is that odd? You're doing it right now, and Meilan seems to be acting no specific role either.
We are not Palm. As long as I've known her, she's been subject to the performance. I was like that too, years ago. I didn't know who I was if I was not imitating someone.
Wax looked across the sheets. Freedom, one of them said in a scrawl across the page. We'll give you freedom whether you... said another, only half of a thought.
What was she like? Who is she, Guardian?
Hard to say. Paon was the Lord Ruler's pet Chandra, a slave to his will and the contract we made with him. She ignored events surrounding the end of the world of Ash. She vanished, didn't return to the homeland. I assumed her dead until she appeared among the survivors. Even then, she separated herself from us. Though she served Harmony as we all did, until nothing. Absence.
Freedom. She talked about that with me. What does it mean?
I don't know. She has betrayed everything we are. But then, so did I. So perhaps we are a pair, she and I. Two of the oldest monsters remaining on this planet. Now that many of the seconds have taken the escape of ending their own lives.
Freedom. Someone else moves us. She left a note for me in the governor's mansion. She removed a politician's tongue to stop his lies. Killed a priest through the eyes to stop him from looking, seeing. For who? For what?
She had been the Lord Ruler's Chandra, moved about and danced at his whims. And then, Harmony's servant? She lived with his voice inside her head, knowing all along that he could take control of her. How would that feel? Would it make you remove one of your spikes? Would you be trying to bring that freedom to everyone? Misguided in your insanity? Certain that the world needed saving? Wax stood up.
It's about Harmony.
Lawman?
She's trying to bring down God himself.
That's insane.
Yes.
He turned to the Chandra.
It is. Speak to Harmony and find out something for me. Did Bleeder first leave because Harmony tried to take control of her at some point? Did that set her off?
Yes. Harmony says he didn't try to control her directly, but he did push her very hard to do something she didn't want to do.
She's been persistent about this idea that all people are controlled. Harmony. Was she Bloody Tam? Was she wearing his body even back then? Was she there when I shot Lessie? She sees everyone as Harmony's puppets. In her eyes, the politicians are his mouth. She's bringing down the government for that reason. Religion? Harmony's eyes, to watch over the people. She works to undermine that by creating strife between the religious sects.
Yes. In a way, it could be seen as a continuation of the first contract. Serve the Lord Ruler. Bring down the force that he worked to defeat. Harmony is half of that.
But what am I in this? Why me? Why focus on...
No, wrong question. What was she going to do next? Eyes, tongue, ears, maybe?
Pretend she's a step ahead of you. Prepare for the worst.
He looked again at the sheets on the floor. She wanted Wax out of the way. An elaborate puzzle? It was a time waster, a distraction. She'd ripped out these sheets not to tease him, but to remove him from the investigation long enough to accomplish the next phase of her plan. She'd led him here with that dust on her robe. She'd planted it there for that purpose.
She knows. She knows what you're going to do, Tensun. What you've done.
Wax felt cold and met the Chandra's inhuman eyes.
She's planned that you would send your Chandra to try to win back the hearts and minds of the people. That exposes you. Her next step is to bring them down.
Wayne wandered between two bonfires. Inside one, table and chair legs made sharp lines, like the shadowy limbs of corpses being burned. The mists didn't get too close to the fires, though the smoke made a good imitator in the night. Like a beggar dressed up so nicely, you only knew him for what he was when you got close enough to catch a proper whiff. Wayne leaned into one of the bonfires to light his cigar, though that required him to heal the skin of his arm as it burned. He smelled both of his own singed hair and of the scent of the fire. Polished furniture didn't burn clean. He liked feeling the heat, though. Made him feel alive. He had stopped filling his metal mines, hoping he had enough health for what was coming. He couldn't afford to be weak or sickly right now, not with what was happening. He leaned back away from the flames and settled the cigar between his teeth. It was a fancy type from the governor's own hidden stash. Wayne took a long puff before remembering that he hated the rusting things. Ah, well, he hadn't traded anything good for it, just one of Wax's forks. The crowd gathering here in the square was the biggest he'd seen this night. They clumped in the bonfire light like a flock of ravens drawn to a kill. Wayne moved up to the back of the crowd and handed his cigar to someone there. He left her standing, baffled, as he dove into the crowd. With a crowd this big, you couldn't move through them, but with them. You had to pull the crowd on like a good coat, snug and tight, then let the cloth give you some direction. Wayne shuffled when the people shuffled. He gave back a friendly elbow when one nudged him, and before too long, he neared the front. Here, above everyone else, a shirtless fellow in trousers and suspenders stood atop a fountain statue, holding on to the survivor's spear for balance, his other fist raised toward the crowd.
They rob us blind!
Aye, that's true.
They expect us to work long hours every day, but then when it ain't convenient for them, they cut us loose and don't care none if we starve.
Yeah, they do.
They do each other favors. They suck us dry, then gather to throw lavish parties.
I've been to those parties. Good sandwiches.
Would the survivor have stood for this?
Probably not.
As the crowd surged around him, Wayne folded his arms and thought. Sure, bringing down a homicidal shapeshifter was important and all, but Rusts, this seemed a bad time to be hanging around with Connors and noblemen. Listening to his speech, he was half inclined to string himself up, which was really disturbing since he was generally suicidal only in the mornings. He was about to turn away and flow back toward the mansion to talk with Melan about this when something changed. A new figure climbed up onto the statue, an older, balding man who was a little thick around the waist, but in a friendly type way. He wore ornate robes that frayed like a mist coat at the bottom. A survivorist priest? The older man held up a pleading hand, and the fellow who had been shouting bowed his head in acknowledgement and stepped back. Beneath the giant image of the survivor, his priest would be heard. Wayne felt a disturbance stir within him, like his stomach discovering he'd just fed it a bunch of rotten apples. Religion worried him. It could ask men to do things they'd otherwise never do.
I come to you understanding and sympathetic, but I implore you, do not invoke the survivor's name for looting and destruction. There is a way to fight back, and I will join you in it. But these are not the days of the Lord Ruler's tyranny. You have the ability to make your voice heard. You can send advocates to the government for you. The survivor said that we should smile. He taught that we should not let our sorrows drag us down, no matter how bad life became.
The mood of the crowd was shifting. Wayne relaxed. Well, maybe religion was good for something other than fancy clothes and weird hats. If that priest defused this group, Wayne would buy him a drink. He would. And buying drinks for priests was great because they usually wouldn't drink theirs, so you got two for yourself to... Wait, why was that fellow in the suspenders, the one who had talked before, sneaking up behind the priest, raising his hand as if to...
No!
Wayne shoved through the crowd toward the fountain. He froze time, which caused quite a mess of confusion in the people around him, but it didn't do much. All that let him do was stand there feeling helpless, knowing the priest was too far away to save. The fellow in the suspender stood just behind the gentle old man, hand raised, knife glittering in the firelight. Except that wasn't a knife, it was a needle. Wayne dropped his speed bubble. The needle plunged down, striking the priest in the back. The round-faced man jerked upright, and then his flesh started to melt. It turned translucent, his eyes drooping out of their sockets, crystal bones beneath glittering in the light of the bonfires.
Look! See what they said to try to placate you? The faceless immortals serve the nobility. This was no priest, but one of their minions. They want you to believe you're free, that their democracy works for you, but all that surrounds you is lies!
Wayne gaped as the priest, no, the Chandra, struggled to stand upright, but that made it worse. A woman in a dirty skirt eyed him.
Hey, aren't you that guy from the Ruffs?
Wayne grimaced, backing away. On the fountain, the leader spotted him. He pointed right at Wayne.
One of them is here! They sent constables into our midst. They're all around, controlling you.
Basically, the entire crowd turned to look at Wayne.
Well, hell.